why don't we give some things another chance? Why don't we give people another chance? Why don't we give the church another chance? Why don't we give outreach? And who knows what another year could do? Who knows what another year? Who knows what the next church planted could do? Who knows what could happen when the next song's written? You just never know. Let's give it another year. And I think that whole truth in the gospel is just full of anticipation. It's full of faith. And it's full of the hope of victory in your life to not give up. You know, why not fertilize and give it another shot?
That's good.
What's up, guys? It's Josiah. You're tuning in to the Young Adults Today podcast. And today's episode is presented by our friends at GFA World. They have a paid apprenticeship program where you or young adults in your church or ministry can discover God's call to the nations. Every generation and every nation, they have a paid apprenticeship program. You can find out more. The link is in the show notes or visit gfa.org. And also, I'd encourage you to check out the Church Plant Masterclass series put out by Rocket Media, and the promo code YAT50 will give you your first video on the four types of startup parties for free. You'll also receive 50% off of the entire Church Plant Masterclass when you visit churchplantmasterclass.com. The link is also in the show notes. And now on to our conversation about healthy churches and young leaders, as we're joined by Pastor Dino Rizzo right here on the Young Adults Today podcast.
What's up, guys? Hope you're feeling alive right now. Welcome to the Young Adults Today podcast, where we talk about amazing things with amazing leaders of what God is doing in and around the churches, in and around the world. I'm Micah Keneally.
I'm Josiah Keneally. We're your hosts. This is the Young Adults Today podcast, and we drop new episodes every Monday to help you start your week and your leadership off strong, to help you strengthen the soul of your leadership. We are fanatical about the faith of the next generation, and here's a hot take. It might be possible that God has given you a dorm dream or a vision of the future. And I wonder at times if maybe the future best churches in the world haven't even been planted yet. So if you have a dream of starting something or really planting a church, you're going to jive with this episode. We're joined today by Dino Rizzo. Welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike and Josiah. Really appreciate the opportunity and enjoyed our chats before. So I think it's going to be an exciting time.
Let's go. This conversation is for young leaders. And I think just if you're new or newer to the show or to Pastor Dino, he is the executive director of ARC, the Association of Related Churches. He's an author and the host of the Unscripted podcast. And today he's our guest. Pastor Dino, can you just out of the gate, share some of your life journey with us and the listener today?
Well, it's an honor always to get to share with anybody, talk about anything. I was not raised in church, so to be a part of what God is doing now always blows my mind. But God's grace and mercy that I still get to do things for God, not being raised in it and being saved through outreach. So I came to Christ because of an outreach. That's why I love outreach. And the idea of reaching and engaging your community. And so I came to Christ, got involved with outreach, realized I didn't know the Bible. My mother sent me to Bible school, went to Bible school for a couple of years, met a few Minnesotans. If you say that, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but a few Vikings, let's call them Vikings. In Bible college, when Rob Ketterling was my roommate, he's a Minneapolis guy, the Apple Valley, somewhere out there, areas. I know some of those areas, and just had a heart to reach people. Ended up in youth ministry, did some bus ministry, did some street ministry, just wanted to help people. Didn't really know. Opportunity came to plant a church. So my wife and I jumped into that and didn't even know. We said, we'll try it for a month. And my wife and I were fortunate to pastor a church, plant a church and pastor a church for 20 years in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, called Healing Place. And it was an outreach-driven church. So it was no secret that we were always thinking about the poor or those with reduced opportunities, trying to figure out ways to engage people that were hurting. And out of that, we, about 10 years in, we wanted to help other people plant churches. So myself, Greg Surratt, Billy Hornsby got together, and Scott Hornsby, and we started ARC. and launched two churches, Church of the Highlands and New Life. And here we are 22 years later and 1,097 churches later. And I get to help lead ARC, and I've relocated to Birmingham at a great church called Church of the Highlands and get to serve with Pastor Chris and just have the best dream on the planet, best job on the planet.
Oh, I love it. That's amazing, because your heart and our heartbeat is similar, and very much to the listener as well, that they believe and we believe in helping people, helping reach people for Christ and creating avenues for people to discover that no matter where they find themselves, where it's homeless on the side of the street or they're making the millions and they want to see God's kingdom come on this side of eternity and bring it to earth. And that's what leads me to this next question is, why do you believe that the faith of the next generation and reaching the next generation is so vital and important when it comes to young adult ministry?
Well, it's important because it's people. And so, you know, God loves people. God's heart is for the lost. It's for people. And so every age group, every bracket, I'm going to go do a middle school Bible study. So I'm still in the middle school game. Yes. I'll do a school retreat in a couple weeks. I'll do college services. But at the same time, you know, whatever it takes. So I just think God has a heart for people. And, you know, how valuable the next generation and young adults are just huge. The energy, the creativity, the hope that they have. A lot of times, they're not maybe jaded, or they're not as calloused on, and I'm not saying that is everybody's that way, but sometimes you get older, you can kind of, well, but you know, that's what I love about outreach, is that so often our outreaches are led by high school students, led by college students, led by young adults in their 20s, some of them single, newly married. You know, they just have hope. They have hope, and they're full of faith and victory. Let's go make a difference. And a lot of times, even when you think about the mission field, where would it be without young adults? I mean, so often it's the mission field around the world that's being impacted by young adults who have time, give their life, give 2 years, 4 years to go to India, to go to Africa, to go and serve those that are underreached. And so they've got to be reached so that they can turn around and reach people.
My gosh, our time is so quick on planet Earth. And I love this statement. I don't know who first said it, but the idea in young adulthood where you can give a year, whether it's to a church plant, to global missions, to a cause that you really believe in, give a year and pray about a lifetime. Like if you don't know what's next, give a year, start with a year and then pray about a lifetime. And I mean, you talk about ARC or church planting, and in the last 22 years, around 1,000 or 1,100 churches, you have a unique vantage point working with a lot of church planters, working with a lot of young leaders. As you travel or as you spend time with God, as you plug into, I mean, even the middle school retreat that you're talking about, what is on your heart, Dino, for young leaders in 2024?
Well, I think, you know, you've got to keep hope alive. I know that there's a lot going on in our world. You can get real distracted. You can get bummed out. You can get overloaded on anxiety when you see what's happening in the world and or in our own country, or sometimes in our own family, in our own mind. You know, the drama and the trauma of living and people and stuff and pain and misunderstanding and hurt. It's alive and well in the world today. And so I think what I would encourage every young person, young adult, is you got to keep a biblical worldview of what is happening in the world. I had to do that this morning. We had prayer this morning, and I spent some time praying about, God, what you're doing in the whole world. Let me know that you're moving. Joel said that you're going to pour out your spirit. Acts said you're going to pour out your spirit. And your sons and daughters and the young people. It's all these generational things that are mentioned. And so I have to believe that that's going to happen no matter what we see in the news or what we see on our reels, the pain and the hurt. It's real. Hunger's real. The pain of addiction is real. The loss and the grief of life is real. But at the same time, God's pouring out his spirit. So I have to live in that space that, God, if you're going to pour it out, why not pour it out on me? Why not pour it out on this church plant or this work or on this podcast or the efforts of you two, all these things that are happening? I just have to believe that that's going to happen in my time. And no matter what I'm going to do, I'm believing God for that.
Oh, I love that.
Yes and amen.
I just want to say thank you for like just doing what you're doing and being a generational difference maker, because we are literally standing on the shoulders of people who have gone before us. And that's one of our dreams and aspirations, is to be heaven-minded individuals with an urgency in our heart to reach every person we can possibly reach for Christ, and being able to do that in complete surrender while tethered to truth in the process and in the prayer room and in the prayer closet, really dedicating and submitting everything to him and coming under his authority, meaning God himself, and knowing that we're, Josiah and I are both millennials, and what we're seeing in our location and what we're seeing across other churches. And I can't remember who came out with this stat.
Pew Research.
Okay. So Pew Research came out with the stat of saying that millennials are coming back to church. There is also a double over the past 4 years of that percentage. It was like 37 or 38.5%. Mm-hmm. Involvement that's increasing. Is there anything you want to say about that, or what's your take on that specifically when it comes to the millennial side of things before we hit Gen Z?
Yeah, well, you're right. There, we're all standing on the shoulders of people that have prayed a lot of prayers, a lot of moms and dads, a lot of grandparents, a lot of pastors, a lot of missionaries. And then there's great people. I mean, I think just listen to you two talk. I mean, you guys are smart. Y'all are so well worded. I'm like, my gosh, I need some wording coaching from you guys. Y'all stream together sentences like crazy. I think, you know, couples like yourself that are in love with each other, you're in love with God's kingdom. You know, this idea of it's not going to be hard. We're not going to go through pain. We're not going to have problems. You know, I would tell the next generation, hey, that doesn't change God's goodness. It doesn't change the power of the church. It doesn't change the gospel. It doesn't change Genesis through Revelation. All those things are still true. Mm-hmm. You know, people, the other day somebody called me and said, man, we just have such church problems. There's church. I said, no. We have human problems.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity, mm-hmm. Broken, hurting, lost, sin, humanity. And so I would just encourage everyone I see that what you're saying is true. You're seeing these drops that are happening around the world of young people that are getting fired up, that are filling churches, that are filling stadiums, that are alive and well on college campuses, in sorority houses, fraternity houses. You're seeing this thing pop up where there's Bible studies, there's a witness, there's gatherings, there's worship. They're coming back to church. I know here at Church of the Highlands, we had a prayer meeting the other day, and it was 50%, probably under 30. And it was just incredible to see that. So I have a lot of hope in that space because there are good examples. I know you hear about the bad examples, but I just don't see that many of them. I think there are so many people that get up every morning, so many pastors and leaders that love God, and they're doing their best. And there's a whole lot more for us than against us. And there's a whole lot more good happening than bad happening. So I'm a positive kind of guy anyway. So I see the positive.
I think that's why we're clicking right now, is because you're speaking our language. I think it's so easy to look at the glass as half empty or half full and squibble over that. But it's like, has it ever dawned on anyone that you can ask for a refill, that there can be an outpouring of God's spirit, that you get what you ask for, whether it's a server at a restaurant or the power of prayer with heaven, and just the access that we have, the same spirit that rose Christ from the grave dwells in us. And I mean, what you were talking about, it reminds me of the promise for the prodigal. And I felt like God just hit me with this, not to give up on people that he gave his life up for, that he gave his son up for, that the promise for the prodigal is that the door is always open. His arms are always open, and that we just have a job to be on assignment, to welcome, to help take grave clothes off, and to just open eyes, point them to the reality of the gospel. And we get fired up talking about the future of the church, because it is very bright. Jesus said he's going to build his church. And so, I mean, for the person who's listening,
you made me think of something I hadn't thought about in a long time. And, you know, there's that story in the Bible where Jesus tells a story. They go to the tree's not bearing fruit. And so the consensus is, let's cut it down. And then I think the owner of the vineyard is like, whoa, hold up. Why don't we dig around it? Why don't we fertilize it? Why don't we work on it? And I think it says, let's give it a year. And it's like, let's give it one more year and see what, if it produces fruit. You know, what happens so often is we're just, you know, we can get mean, we can get calloused, we can get negative, we can get hurt. And we just want to cut everything down. Everything's bad. Take a chainsaw to everything and just wipe it all out. And I'm so reminded when you were saying that, Josiah, that, wow, why don't we give some things another chance? Why don't we give people another chance? Why don't we give the church another chance? Why don't we give outreach? And it, who knows what another year could do? Who knows what another year? Who knows what the next church planted could do? Who knows what could happen when the next song's written? You just never know. Let's give it another year. And I think that whole truth in the gospel is just full of anticipation. It's full of faith. And it's full of the hope of victory in your life to not give up. You know, why not fertilize it? Give it another shot.
That's good.
Yes, 100%. And I mean, go there for a second to talk to the future church planter, that they know what God's spoken to them. They know the dream or the vision that he woke them up in the middle of the night or just has stirred and they can't shake it. You know, what would you say to the person who gets excited when we say church plant, who's like, oh, I want in on the action. Put me in coach. What could they do today to visioneer and become a future ready leader?
Well, the call to be a church plant needs to be like a rash you can't get rid of. Literally, you can't shake it. It never leaves you. It's just always, I mean, you got to work it that long. It's not an overnight thing. You're talking about planting the thing that's the project of Jesus and being the hands and feet of Jesus extended into a city, a community, to the poor, to the hurting, to those fighting addiction, to those that don't have a pastor, to families that are broken, to single moms, blended families, all that. So you're talking about reaching all the hurting people, people that are having mental challenges, people that are having family break. So you're talking about going to plant a church, start a church to reach humanity. So it's not an overnight thing. It is something that you can't shake because, and then you know, it's going to be God because it's going to be bigger than you could ever imagine. It's not just going to bless you. The plan of God is always greater than you. And then I'll tell you the other thing, you can look back on your timeline and there's going to be breadcrumbs that somehow or another let you know you're headed into this. There's going to be something about your love for the church, your heart for a city. And then I'll tell you the other things that we talk a lot about is your marriage. Are you in 100% agreement that you're the model of ministry? Have you had a good model of ministry? How about this? Have you been mentored correctly? Do you have a good spiritual father? Do you have some pastors? Do you have some people in your life that can say no, can speak to your heart? Do you know how to handle finances, money? Do you have integrity with money? And then what we call is a ministry model is, have you given yourself to a ministry model? That means, have you built another person's ministry? Have you served in another ministry model? You know, have you come alongside of someone and made them great? You know, that's when you get those things happening and then you merge that with the call, then I think you're ready to be coached and encouraged and resourced and have long, long chats about what is God putting in you and on you. And I think God is doing it. We just had one of our launch training that we do at ARC. It's like a 3 or 4 day training, and there's a lot of work. We dating a lot before we have that moment. So there's a lot of dating going on before we show up. But I'm going to tell you, I was so encouraged with this last class. Diversity, maturity, vision. You know, there were some people in the room who had been fathered well, who had been pastored well. And so I got encouraged that it's like, wow. And I think you said it, some of the best churches could be planted in the future. I think some of our best ones will be planted. I don't think we planted all of the best ones. Mm. I believe there are some that are going to be planted that are going to just make a huge dent in the darkness. So I know that went long, but that's my brain dump on church planting right now. And my hope for those who feel a call to it, we'd love to help them.
Incredible.
I love that. That is so good. And Pastor, you know, we've come to our favorite, our audience is one of their favorite part of the episodes where we have five and five. So there's five questions with 5 minutes on the clock to honor your time. Are you up for that challenge today?
I may be up for that challenge. I could be up for that challenge here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay. Well, it's warmer down there than it is here. So we're a little slower moving up in the Midwest today.
The South.
I know. I'm telling you. Someday, maybe. Who knows? It's all God's timing. But if you're up for the challenge, question number one is, what has God been teaching you lately?
He's been teaching me a lot about faith and victory, that I need to walk in faith, that you can't have victory unless you're walking in faith. Can't walk in doubt. Can't walk in unbelief. Can't walk in fear. But I'm trying to walk by faith and pray for my children by faith, my wife, what's going on around us in the world. Keep faith alive. And faith cometh by hearing God's word. So stay in God's word. And then I can walk in victory because, you know, it's easy to walk defeated every day, but I got to walk in victory, have some joy, be fired up.
That's right.
Let's go. Speaking of victory, this is off script. We didn't send you this one, but who are you cheering for? What's your go-to team?
Oh, you're talking about in sports? Oh, man. I'm always a Saints guy because my wife's from New Orleans, but we didn't do too good this year. So I'm probably, you know, probably Philadelphia because of her. He's Alabama player. Yeah. So I like him. I like Tua at Miami because of Alabama. Even though I'm an LSU fan, my daughter reads from Alabama. And so I have a leaning towards the Alabama players. And all those guys are good guys. Tua comes to our church here at Highlands. He's a great guy, loves God. And so you kind of follow along those people that you feel like you've had a little contribution to.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, here's a little bit of a curveball with a sports analogy. If you could ask Josiah and myself any question today, what would you want to ask us?
When did you meet?
Want to go? Me to go? I met Josiah after having a dream and vision of the spring of 2014. Mm-hmm. I said I was never going to move to the city, never live downtown Minneapolis, and never marry anybody younger than me. And by the end of August, I was at North Central University living downtown and praying for my future spouse. And I met Josiah the first week I walked into church at Cedar Valley Church here in Bloomington, Minnesota, right by the airport over here. Yeah. And I shook his hand and he was a gentleman from my dream. And God said, yep. As I'm shaking his hand, God said, yep. And he was the dream. Literally.
Wow. What's your age difference?
5 years.
That's perfect.
That's perfect.
my wife and I are 5 years apart. I'm just older than her, but I like 5 years.
We do too.
Team five.
What's maybe like the best piece of advice that you've ever been given that you can think of today?
The sun only rises and sets on one person, and that is Jesus. Mm. All about him. You can't let anything be about anything other than Christ and Christ alone. So my uncle told me that when I was going through some things. We were building a team at our church and we had some people leave the team unexpectedly. They just bolted. They had their reasons. And I just thought the whole thing was over. I just thought, man, these people leave us. They leave me. I'm not going to make it. And I called him on the phone. I was complaining. He said, did you think it was built on them? He said, if you thought it was built on them, then you think it's built on you.
Wow.
And he said, it's not built on you or them. And that's when he said that phrase, said the sun only rises and sets on Jesus. So build a church with that type of security. So probably has gotten me through a many of season when they abound and they abase, when it's lean and it's good. You just always remember it's about Jesus and people come and go.
That's so good. Okay, here's the fifth and final question. If you could leave the listener with one piece of encouragement today, what would you want to leave them with?
I would probably say, don't forsake your devotional life.
Yeah.
I just think you can't. And I'm not, it doesn't have to be a lot, but I think it's been the one thing. I went through a tough season about 11 years ago where I got very depleted, ran on empty, and just was not in a good place. And I think what I realized is I had lost my devotional life. All of my prayer was for preaching. All of my prayer was for presentation. All of my study was for distribution. And what I recaptured during that time in my own repentance and in my own, because God will humble you. And in that time, I think probably what I recaptured was my devotional life. And that's the one thing that I will not let go of. Now, I read Jesus Calling every morning. There's nobody better who speaks to my soul. She had to find someone who speaks to your soul. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she does that. And, you know, thank God for her, great author. I know she's with the Lord now, but, I mean, just phenomenal, but mm-hmm. I've read it for probably 9 years. And then I spend time, of course, in prayer and journaling and reading my scripture, but I don't know if there's anything more important than having a devotional life that you will not negotiate on. I'm not negotiating on my devotion with Jesus, whether that's my worship that I do in my truck. It's my time with the Lord when I pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to be, I got to have that, the preaching, the leading, the strategy, the building, the all that stuff will come and go. And all that's super important, but that's probably my non-negotiable. I'm not giving that up for nothing. And I think it's the thing that has helped my wife and I be married 35 years. We see our kids flourishing. Doesn't mean we haven't had a lot of pain and we have our own battles. And then to be able to be a part of a great church like Church of the Islands and lead an organization like ARC. And then the last thing is to have great friends. I would not be here today if it wasn't for great friends. I have great friends in my life. That is, they have been the four that have carried me and lowered me through the roof. So I've been a man on a mat many a day. So I'm trying to be a guy now who carries somebody else. So friendship is huge. You better find some people and do life with them.
Amen.
Do the good, the bad, the ugly.
Man, thanks for going there. I wonder sometimes if friendship isn't almost only one of the greatest gifts God gives us here mm-hmm. on earth, but I think it's one of the keys to longevity in ministry as a young leader. That's one of the things that I've noticed about people who've had staying power and grit and mm-hmm. have finished well or are legacy leaders on the journey is they haven't done it alone. And I think that leadership is only lonely if you let it be. But man, before we thank you for an amazing conversation, which this has been, just getting really practical, where can people find resources if they feel like, man, I'm ready to go to that conference or those startup events? Where can people track with you?
It's arcchurches.com. That's where you find out about church planting, all things church planting. And then we have an Instagram that's called Servolution. That's a lot of outreach. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm on the church planting world. I oversee outreach and missions at Church of the Islands. So we have a lot of resources at Servolution in that Instagram. So that's kind of all things outreach. And then church planting is arcchurches.com. If you need any information all about planting a church, we would love to come alongside of you and see that dream take place.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Dino Rizzo, for spending some time with us and our audience today. And we will link all the information in the show notes so they can get connected to you and hopefully, you know, make some progress for God's kingdom.
Sounds awesome. Thank y'all so much. Y'all are awesome.
Thank you so much.
This is the Young Adults Today podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode right here on the Young Adults Today podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe. That way you'll never miss a thing. And if you enjoy streaming or listening or watching the Young Adults Today Leader podcast, I have a hunch that you will benefit from a couple other resources. The first is our Facebook community called Young Adult Ministry Leaders. That link is in the show notes in the episode description where you can join a community of 2,700 other young adult ministry leaders across the globe. The second, we have coaching communities launching this April designed for you to grow as a lifelong learner with other next gen pastors, young adult ministry leaders, and campus missionaries from across the country where the link is in the show notes. You can click on coaching communities. The last is we have a 3-book bundle, Reaching the Next, Next Gen Now, and Equip the Saints are our Young Adults Today resource book bundle, where these are great for bringing your board, your staff, your small group or your leadership team. There's discussion guides, and really you can learn from 13 ways to engage young adults, equipping and understanding engaging young adults, and then raising up an army in the next generation. These books are available individually or in the book bundle when you visit youngadults.today. Thanks so much. We'll see you next episode right here on the Young Adults Today podcast. I'm getting charged up right now, yeah.